Surviving bullet wounds from the Jonestown Massacre to leading the Me Too movement on Capitol Hill, U.S. Congresswoman Jackie Speier's new memoir lays out a remarkable life and resilience. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a congresswoman about her new book, and that conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, book titles can be a lot of things. They could be tantalizing, funny and punny, cryptic. And sometimes a book title is just perfectly placed aside its content. The book is Undaunted, and it is the true life story of being left for dead after 5 bullet wounds, widowed early while pregnant due to a drunk driver, miscarriages, and a failed adoption. And that's before the political career began. U.S. Congresswoman Jackie Speier's memoir, Undaunted, is subtitled Surviving Jonestown, Summoning Courage and Fighting Back. Ms. Speier represents California's 14th congressional district, which spans the Bay Area's peninsula from just south of San Francisco to just north of Stanford University in Palo Alto, which is one reason Capitol Hill looks to her for expertise on the tech industry in the U.S. economy.
I think Silicon Valley in general is something that is not consistent with the rest of the country. I hate to say that because I represent a good part of it, but we live in a bubble, and it's important for us to understand the lives of those in the Midwest, the Rust Belt, and other areas. They're having a hard time making it.
Ms. Speier joins the new 116th Congress this month, a Congress with more elected women than ever before. And our conversation with her starts now. Congresswoman Speier, thank you so much for your time this morning. We want to talk about your new book, obviously. It's called Undaunted, Surviving Jonestown, Summoning Courage, and Fighting Back. But quick disclaimer, I emceed a panel for one of your annual conferences at the Professional Businesswomen of California. So thank you for that opportunity. And I just wanted to put that at the top.
Okay, good. We're celebrating 30 years of that conference this year.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to attending as well. The 116th Congress is about to be seated as of tomorrow. We're taping on January the 2nd. It has the most women that we've ever had. How do you feel about that, and how can we get more women involved?
Well, I'm ecstatic about it because I think it's going to change how we look at many issues. I think women at the table make a huge difference. Having Speaker Pelosi at the table is going to change the dynamics. What's interesting about this class of newly electeds, 35 of them are women, 34 of them are Democrats, 22 of them have never run for public office before. So the message, I think, is very clear. You do not have to have a particular resume. You do not have to have particular experience. There's no secret sauce to doing this. And some women just got up one day and said, I'm doing this, and they have succeeded.
Absolutely. And I definitely want to get to the book, but you mentioned something I want to follow up on, and that is you have navigated divided government before as a veteran of Congress. How do you hope to help these women lead, or these freshmen lead, into this very, let's say, charged Congress?
They have, I think, already a clear vision of the kinds of things they want to see happen. Because they have an investment in the future of the planet, they have made climate change a very big issue. Global warming has not dissipated. It has only increased. And so already the speaker-elect has created a special select committee. We have got to look at this as a Marshall Plan to make sure that we are working with all of our allies to address this issue, and even some of our enemies, to make sure that we save this planet for future generations.
Well, let's talk about your new book, Undaunted, Surviving Jonestown, Summoning Courage, and Fighting Back. Why this book, and why now?
So it's 40 years after that horrific experience in Jonestown for me personally. It's also, I think, an opportunity for us to reflect on how did this church, this Disciples of Christ congregation, become so twisted that one man could create a cult and take with him 900 people to their death without local government stepping in when there was child abuse and sexual abuse going on, and when our State Department did not take steps to protect American citizens abroad when defectors were telling them there was so much wrong going on there. So it was an opportunity to talk about that, and the fact that in those ensuing 40 years, I've had a lot of life experiences, one of which was when my husband was killed in an automobile accident and I was pregnant with our second child, a number of miscarriages, a failed adoption, and child abuse, I should say sexual abuse, when I was a youngster and my grandfather had molested me. So I take all of those experiences and talk about how we are more resilient than we think we are and that we can overcome virtually anything.
It is a remarkable life that you're living right now. And I was a little uncomfortable drawing a thread, but you kind of did it for me. So I'm going to follow up with a question about Jonestown and the demagoguery of that. And it seems like there's a slice of the American electorate in a way that seems to not accept new facts or new information. Is that something that you see a little bit of a parallel to, or am I overstating that?
No, I don't think you are overstating it. I think, you know, the paranoia that Jim Jones exhibited and how he was able to take these 900 people and twist them to his will is not all that dissimilar from other people in power today, without naming them, who have paranoia running through them at such a level that it impacts virtually everything they do.
Do you think that the anti-intellectualism or the tribalism that we have right now in our politics is something that's more representative of an economic disparity? And was there any parallel to that in Jonestown?
The people that were attracted to Jim Jones and the People's Temple were a combination of young whites and African Americans who were both young and old, some of whom were looking for a family that they did not have. So that was an opportunity for them to create a utopia that they could be part of. I think that comparing it to the tribalism of today would not necessarily be accurate, but I would say that we can't afford tribalism right now. We have to make sure that the economy in this country works for everyone and not just a select few. And I think we're beginning to realize that the tax cut, the $2.3 trillion in tax cuts, did not have the kind of trickle-down benefit that was promoted. And that's why I think the Congress, the House in particular, turned over to Democrats, because there was the sense that that people were being left behind. It was also recognition that the Affordable Care Act is something that is here to stay and that pre-existing conditions should not be a discriminating force in providing health care.
You mentioned a couple of macroeconomic things there. I'm going to ask you about one more, and that's Silicon Valley and the role of technology in an economy for all. Do you have a take on that?
Well, I do think that the need to regulate social media in particular will be front and center this year. I think even the social media companies realize that there needs to be a level of regulation that has not existed. It is not no longer going to be the wild, wild west. And I think Silicon Valley in general is something that is not consistent with the rest of the country. I hate to say that because I represent a good part of it, but
right.
We live in a bubble, and it's important for us to understand the lives of those in the Midwest, the Rust Belt, and other areas. They're having a hard time making it, and we need to move some of our strategic thinking into ways of helping them succeed as well.
Well, I'm heartened to hear you say that, because I live just outside of your district, but I cover the tech industry obviously every day, and I do agree with you that there needs to be some leadership on that, and a little bit of oxygenation of the market might create some work someplace other than the nine-county Bay Area. What are your personal goals moving into this Congress, or at least this year?
So my personal goals are around a number of issues. One, the Me Too Congress Act, which I was successful in getting signed into law that applies to Congress, needs to apply to the rest of the federal government so that sexual harassment is no longer tolerated anywhere, and that a place that is safe to come to work should be everywhere in the government. I also am going to be, in all likelihood, chairing the Military Personnel Subcommittee, and I want to deal with issues around sexual assault in the military, and also a doctrine that no one really spends much time on, and it's called the Ferris Doctrine, which prevents service members from suing the government when there's been gross malpractice, for instance. And I think we have to overturn that particular doctrine, and we need to do it through Congress.
Congresswoman and Jackie Spear, thank you so much for your time. Her new book is called Undaunted, Surviving Jonestown, Summoning Courage and Fighting Back, A Remarkable Life and a Remarkable Leader. Thank you so much for your time.
Great to be with you, Jason. Thank you.
That was U.S. Congresswoman Jackie Spear talking about her new memoir, Undaunted, Surviving Jonestown, Summoning Courage and Fighting Back. Jackie Spear also started the Professional Business Women's Association of California, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. And I will continue to wax poetic about the Congresswoman. She is a recognized champion of women's rights, personal privacy, and consumer safety, as well as an avowed opponent of government inefficiency and waste. In 2012, she was named to Newsweek's list of 150 fearless women in the world. In November 2017, Congresswoman Spear co-authored the Me Too Congress Act to overhaul how sexual harassment and assault are reported and mediated on Capitol Hill. For links to Jackie Spear, her new book Undaunted, women's groups, and the progress of Me Too, please check the show notes at KGORadio.com or in the notes at the bottom of the podcast.